joining us on Renovation Podcast. We're glad you've chosen to join us today. I'm here with Dr. Christopher Cohn.
That's me.
And I'm John Oglesby. And we truly are grateful that you're with us and listening to the podcast. We are excited for the opportunities that God is providing us. Or at least I am.
Yes.
Excited for the opportunities that we can come together and conversate about life according to the Bible. And today, I think we have an interesting topic.
I think you're right.
Of course, I think most of our, all of our topics are interesting, but today especially is.
Well, you know, we try not to be really particularly time-specific. We try to deal with issues that people would face pretty regularly, you know, or just biblical concepts that apply to many areas of life. What we're talking about today, I do think, is it's a little bit current eventsy,
right?
But there's biblical applications for that too.
Yeah, and today we're gonna be. You ready? Drum roll. Topic for today is we're gonna be talking about specifically the whole. I guess you want to call it the whole deal that's surrounding Colin Kaepernick and Nike and what is happening there, how should Christians respond, and I won't go into too much detail, I'll just let us shoot off from that platform, but I guess we should start maybe with a little bit of history of what's happening. Colin Kaepernick, I think it was probably like 2 years ago, started a movement of kneeling during the national anthem at NFL football games. And there's been a whole slew of stuff that's happened since then, and it's really caused quite a division, at least that I can see. And then the latest thing is Nike has chosen to...
I'm laughing at you because I'm just envisioning a history textbook that identifies an event and then says, and then a whole slew of stuff happened.
That's my kind of history class. I love that. I love that kind of history. But I guess, and then the latest...
Is that going to be on the exam? A whole slew of stuff happened.
So what's happened between event A and now? A whole slew of things.
A whole slew of things happened.
It's like those... I don't know if you've ever seen those pictures of, like, kids' answers on tests, and they're always humorous because they're right, but it's not the answer that they were looking for, you know?
So what happened?
Yeah.
A whole slew of
things. A whole slew of things happened.
You're correct, Johnny. I'm sorry. I'm totally derailing you here.
Oh, that's
keep going.
Okay.
So a whole slew of things happened, and then what?
Yeah, and then the latest thing has been the ad from Nike that includes Colin Kaepernick and talking about, doing your dream. I guess is pursuing your dream and sacrificing everything. And you know, I hadn't seen the video ad until earlier today, but what I had been seeing a lot of was that's because it's easy to post to social media is the picture of Colin Kaepernick's face and then, you know, the text. And I'm going to look up what exactly that text says, but what are your thoughts, Dr. Cohn?
Well, I think a whole slew of stuff, John.
We have a whole slew of events to cover, so.
Well, okay, so go back to the inception of this, and of course there's a tremendous controversy that continues, and it's a legitimate controversy that in particular there was at least a perception that in the African-American community that there was a real targeting by law enforcement and that there was a lack of justice. Now I think statistics and some of the facts would indicate that it wasn't, those issues are not targeting specific communities. The problem is we're dealing with fallen humanity, and there are people in every walk of life who don't know the Lord and who are pretty hateful. And so when you see it emphasized in one area, it draws attention. But there's a whole lot of history there, of course. And as Kaepernick decided to kneel during the national anthem, he said that he was doing it specifically in protest of this issue with law enforcement and particular elements of law enforcement targeting the black community. And I remember him saying that early on, but then afterwards, as I heard his explanations, he wasn't quite as specific, and I think others who began to follow what he was doing, and Neil as well, they weren't very specific either, so it kind of looks like they're just protesting America. And of course, when you take the anthem and the flag, which so many have died to protect, if you will, and which symbolizes these freedoms that we enjoy today, and you protest in that context, it's going to infuriate a lot of people, and it has. It's been a firestorm, a really significant cultural linchpin for division. And I'm not sure that it's improved anything, but nonetheless, he chose that platform, and others joined him, and it even became a presidential issue when Donald Trump has addressed it a number of times, and some in some of those contexts, I think he's spoken well, and in others, I think he hasn't. But it's captivated the attention at a high level. And so along comes Nike here. Well, first of all, the NFL not long ago instituted a policy, each team had to make an individual stand, but then it was Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, who instituted a policy that you simply can't do it. You'd be right. Fined, and it'd be considered behavior harmful to the league. So the league took that stance, which kind of shut it down a little bit. So in a sense, there's needed this new outlet of expression, and Nike was all too happy to step into that space and kind of give that outlet. Now, of course, there's another side note here that's important relative to the Nike ad, and that is that Colin Kaepernick led his team, the San Francisco 49ers, to three straight NFC championships. So he had some success in one Super Bowl appearance. He had some success in that, in the league. But when he was released, as I recall, he was released. I have to recall whether his contract expired or whether he was released. But he hasn't been picked up by anybody, so he's not playing football.
Right.
And the implication in the Nike ad is that his dream has resulted in him sacrificing everything. Now, if I can just comment briefly there, as a guy who does watch some football and is fairly interested in statistics and things like that, Kaepernick's numbers were not even average in the last couple of years. So he wasn't a spectacular performer. Their whole offense was struggling. Part of it was because they let go of their head coach, who they fired the guy after three straight NFC championships, which is crazy. But so he was struggling. Their system was struggling. So it wasn't a hard thing to see him go. But it's surprising that he didn't find another job. But the question there is: does a team and an ownership have the ability to pass on a guy because they're too much of a lightning rod? Well, Tim Tebow, when he left Denver, went to New England. After New England, nobody picked him up, as I recall, and there was enough talent there for him to play in the league. So it happens. But in Nike's ad, they're presenting this kind of a sacrificing all concept, and so they have Colin Kaepernick narrating these various stories, encouraging people to dream big, and if people say your dreams are crazy, don't ask if your dreams are crazy, ask if they're crazy enough, which frankly is a really cool message, I think. Mm-hmm. It shows Shaquem Griffin, who has one hand, he's But now he started Sunday in Seattle with his brother, both Seattle Seahawks. You know, that's pretty really awesome, cool, yeah. Right? So there's all these stories. So it's a good message. It's a positive message. But the underlying kind of angst is related to the racial issue. Some have been really upset about this ad because Kaepernick is being rewarded. I mean, he's getting paid a lot of money to do this at a level that's similar to other athletes who have contracts, you know, and who are performing at a high level in their sport. So some are perceiving that he's being rewarded for trashing the flag, and others are just jumping for joy that he has a voice. So that's been the last couple of weeks, you know. A slew of stuff has happened.
Yeah.
That's kind of the context of this. And I suppose the question that you're thinking of, I'd love to hear you ask the question that you're thinking of.
Well, there's a lot of questions out there in means of maybe method. So, you know, the way he protested, and is that what we should be seeing? Or you even have questions of how far do we take, you know, patriotism and this idea of you know, staying loyal to your country, but when does that stop? Like, when does that break? Or, you know, so there's a lot of questions, but I guess one of the things that I've seen that I think can be answered pretty quickly, one of the things I've seen is people going, well, he just didn't have to do it that way. Mm-hmm. So why the national anthem?
Right.
And of course, a why question, you would need to, it would be better if you could just have Colin Kaepernick sitting next to us here and you could just ask him. But why couldn't it, and it's been suggested, you know, why didn't he kneel after every touchdown or kneel at other times, I guess, you know, instead of offending all of the military that has sacrificed what they would say has sacrificed everything for the country. So why take the stand during such an event?
It's a great question, and it goes back to, I think there's a concept in 1 Corinthians 10 that is important. So I'll just read these two verses 23 and 24. And in this context, Paul is challenging believers about their liberty in Christ and how to use that freedom that they have. He says in verse 23, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. And that, we've talked about this before, and we'll talk about it in the future. But that term profitable is sumphero. It's literally sum is together and phero is to bring. The idea of profit here is bringing together. So you could read it, all things are lawful, but not all things bring together. All things are lawful, but not all things edify, and that's oikodomeo, to house build. So all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable or bring together. All things are lawful, but not all things build the house, right?
Right.
And so in that broad context and that principle, we could see that as believers, we have a responsibility to be protecting and guarding this unity, that there's a bond closer than national heritage, right? Patriotism is a beautiful thing when it doesn't become idolatry. We're told to pray for those in leadership. We're told to render to Caesar, you know, what is Caesar. So government is installed by God. It's something that's divinely created so that we can engage with each other. But the problem is that fallen humans fill these positions, and I appreciate very much that we have the civic responsibility to vote, and we can impact without having to start a revolution every time there's leadership that's problematic. We can impact by submitting to the Constitution, you know, and voting and being involved in the process. What a great provision that is.
Right.
So we can participate, but the idea is, as a Christian, our view needs to be really focused on not what we can do, the lawfulness of it, but What's profitable and what edifies? And I think with respect to Colin Kaepernick, who at least before he came into the NFL made a claim to being a Christian. I don't know his stance, but if he does claim to be a Christian, I would kind of hold him accountable to these biblical principles and say, you know, you absolutely have the freedom to do this, and the venue, I would say, is fine. But at the same time, you got to realize that while you have the freedom to protest and express your beliefs in any context, those that employ you also have the freedom to express their views by releasing you. So you both have that freedom, and there's consequences. But I think the issue is, are we engaging, and this is from verse 24, let no one seek his own but that of his neighbor. Are we engaging in something that we know is going to benefit those around us? Now, I think Colin Kaepernick believed that he was, right? He didn't have anything to gain or lose necessarily. I think it was, he intended it as a fairly benign thing. Some would argue that, well, he it's a money opportunity for him. I don't think that's the case. Again, as an NFL quarterback, you can only hurt yourself if you're making waves. So I think he would have perceived that he had more to lose. He believed in something, identified a way that he could make a stand for it, or, you know, figuratively, because he kneeled. And he did that. Now, I don't agree. I wouldn't have counseled him to do it that way, because I think he was really naive about the impact and how much it would hurt a lot of people. But he's also been really effective in, I mean, Nike made an ad about this, and they wouldn't have done that if he hadn't kneeled. Now, is it just being opportunistic, a corporation being opportunistic? Maybe. But, you know, you and I have in a conversation about this, and we haven't dug into any other current events. We've been trying to avoid it, but, you know, felt like this was worth discussing. So there's been something accomplished. What that is, I'm not quite sure. Maybe after a whole slew of stuff has happened, we'll be able to look back in 20 years and say, you know, that this conversation developed into that, or this movement developed.
It'd be really interesting to ask. You know, you were just talking about, you think at the beginning he saw an opportunity, he believed in something, and he saw an opportunity and he took it. And you know, innocent as that is, right? And but now, 2 years ish later, we see an impact, and we see a major division within the country, and which, of course, this isn't the only division-causing event.
Certainly.
But you see a division here, and you go, at what point do you say enough isn't? I've made my point. You disagree. You agree. Y'all are, you know, now let's, we can be done.
Right.
And is he continuing to push? You know, he's obviously not in the league, so he's not kneeling during the national anthem. But is there things that are going on that he's continuing to push that agenda, or is really has America just kind of taken it and now we're kind of pushing it ourselves?
Yeah, I think it's the latter in part. I think it's a narrative that you know, Nike's not going to do it if they don't believe that there's a profit opportunity. I'm not saying Nike's evil or anything. It's just their business,
right?
And you observed that so far, since that has that ad, their sales have increased 31%. Now, you know, stats can be manipulated, so I don't know what all that. I haven't looked at any specifics there, but it's been a successful thing. Nike's a part of the discussion,
right?
You know, we have mentioned Nike, I don't know how many times already in this podcast, and they're not paying anything. and I am actually wearing a pair of Nikes, but it had nothing whatsoever to do with the ad or with today's topic.
I'm wearing Rockports, yeah. So if that helps any.
I was wearing it. We recorded a modular class, a 3-day class, here in this past week with our Colorado campus that's now up and running, our Innovation Center in Colorado. Technically not a campus, but I was wearing Adidas as I'm teaching that class, and this ad came out, and I got so many comments on, "Hey, yeah, you're wearing Adidas." Like, I'm not wearing Nike. So it's just, you know, that's what I pulled out of the closet, you know.
But what a pat.
Yeah, but your point is really is certainly valid. If there's a point where it's done, and now I'm thinking from a biblical perspective, and as a Christian, there's a time to make some noise, and then there's a point where it can simply become divisive.
Right.
And I think you know, it's easy for you and I to look at a situation and say, okay, that person should stop now. It's done. But the reality is, that person has the freedom,
right,
to make those choices. And there's a context in which that person is, and circumstances that we can't see. So, kind of the punchline for me, I don't agree with Colin Kaepernick's approach, but I absolutely believe he had the freedom to do it. And when you take a stand, you also have to be willing to deal with consequences. I don't look at him as a martyr. He had statistics and numbers that support his not being an NFL quarterback right now. At the same time, I saw somebody refer to him just the other day as one of the greatest quarterbacks in the league, which that. I don't think that was ever the case, right. But so you can see how these passions are ignited and people are looking through their various lenses, and the bottom line is, for a believer, what is it we're trying to accomplish? Are we trying to change society, or are we trying to do something else? And ultimately, it's about the love of Christ being demonstrated, and sometimes that means that a change needs to happen in society. So we don't want to be distant, but I would kind of run any protest or any response to protest through the lens of 1 Corinthians 10:23-24, understanding that all things are, we can do all of these things, but are they profitable? Do they edify? Are they seeking the other's good? And if not, then I probably should change my direction.
Yeah, I want to pull in kind of another aspect too, as you pointed out yesterday to me in another context, Galatians 6:10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those of the household of faith. And you know, Paul's telling them, you know, do good to all, but let's prioritize the church.
Right.
You know, those who are believers. So my question would be, as this has happened, I can name off, I mean, I don't have enough fingers to count the amount of people that disagree in this scenario, disagree on this event, these events that have taken place, the slew of events that have taken place in the last 2 years. So at what point within the church, in my attempt to do good, especially to those of the household of faith, as a believer, what does that look like for me as I approach those who disagree with me in this area? Because I know, you know, some people would have the approach of, well, we just won't talk about it. Let's just not, you know, if I've been growing up, I've met people that go, our family, we just don't talk about politics, right, because we're just going to fight the whole time. So right, we're just not going to talk about it. Or religion, we just don't talk about religion, right? So some people would take that approach, and others are set on, no, we need to come to a unity in this. This is something we have to agree on, and this is why I think that this is accurate, and it just almost an insistence on, we have to talk about this. And I think the majority of them are sincere in saying, I think we're doing this because I think it's what's best for all of us in our congregation, in our local church. Or not even necessarily that. It could be, I just know that as a Christian to a brother in Christ, I don't want this to cause division between us, so we're just not going to talk about it. Right. Or we're going to talk about it until we agree on it, and we're going to deal with it.
Excellent. You know, here's one of the challenges. And I think there's a principle in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 that helps with this. I love that you brought in Galatians 6:10, because it shows an order of priority, that we are to prioritize our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's clear, but we're to do good to all. Mm-hmm. And so, and Peter emphasizes that also in 1 Peter 2, that we're to honor all people. So when we see injustice, I mean, God hates injustice. He hates these things. So when we see that, we can't turn a blind eye, and we can't say, oh, well, God just wants me to preach the gospel. He doesn't want me to look out for this situation. That's not the case. When we see something, we need to deal with it. But when you're talking about a political system, you're talking about human government, the authority is derived from God himself, and that's certainly true. At the same time, there are many gray areas, right? I mean, should we have voting that's happening in person like we do now, or should there be an electronic representative form of voting? I mean, technologically, we can now do the electronic voting, but then you risk a whole hijacking of the vote. Well, what should we do? Well, that's not a right or wrong issue, right? That's mm-hmm. a logistics issue. That's not a necessarily a moral issue in the sense of a clear right and wrong.
Right.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is challenging the Corinthian believers about passing judgment and the arrogance they have with one another. He says this in verses 5 and 6. He says, therefore, don't go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. So before I get to the next verse, so I'm going to look at a lot of scenarios and say, you know what, I don't know enough about that to make a judgment. I don't know where Kaepernick's heart is, what he's trying to do. I'm not going to judge him. He's exercising the freedom that he has, receiving some of the consequences for that, not being in the league perhaps. He's also seeing some benefit of that. Nike's making an ad, you know, featuring him, signing a contract with him. But I don't know. I really don't make a judgment on that. God knows. That's kind of what's there in verse 5. So he's cautioning believers to be careful about being so judgmental that you're turning these things into dogma. He says in verse 6, these things, brethren, I figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sake. So he's saying, you know, we're trying to lead by example in this way, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written. And that's huge. Mm-hmm. God's word reveals black and white. It reveals things with great clarity. And he explains that we need to speak the same thing. He tells the Corinthians that. In other words, agree. So in matters that are written, we don't agree to disagree. We do need to come to a unity in that, because God's revealed himself in Scripture. But in these other areas that go beyond what's written, we don't have the clear delineation sometimes, and we don't understand all of the context. So we got to be really cautious. And he says at the end of verse 6, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other. So if one group is treating the other as inferior, totally wrong. You know, I think of Philippians chapter 2. There's just no room for it in the body of Christ. And that's what's happening in this situation, I think, is part of the culture is saying, you guys are all wrong. If you don't look like us and act like us, then you're completely wrong. And the other side of the culture saying the same thing.
Right.
And it's just not particularly profitable. I would rather see us doing something about the specific issues than, you know, a loud protest sometimes is co-opted by others who have a different agenda. So it gets tricky.
So there's as this continues, because I don't see it stopping anytime soon, what would be the action of the believer? What would be your encouragement to the believer in, I guess, dealing with the situation, especially as they are talking to like even within families, there, you know, there's just so much disagreement here, and it can potentially cause division between relationships. What would your encouragement be to them, and how can we move forward and glorify the Lord in this situation?
Great question. In relation to 1 Corinthians 10, 1 Corinthians 4, so working from that platform of it's about being profitable, it's about bringing together, it's not about seeking my own good or my own agendas, and I can't go beyond what's written. So there is boundaries to mm-hmm. what I can be dogmatic about, if you will. I also think about Philippians 2, which I mentioned, but just to hit a specific passage, he says in 2 verse 3, let's go to verse 2. He says, make my joy complete, Philippians 2:2, by being of the same mind, the same thinking, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And of course, he's talking to believers, so we're not necessarily going to be of the same mind with unbelievers. We don't have the same purpose as unbelievers. But we can still do this, verse 3, with unbelievers. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Okay, so if I'm interacting with someone who disagrees and who has a really strong position in this, I can either make our conversation about this issue, or I can say, okay, well, so what if you're there on that discussion? How about I focus on how I can encourage you in your walk with Christ? How about I encourage you in some action, as opposed to just being frustrated about this thing you have no control over.